Hello, Freedom Nation. It's Jeff here once again with another episode of the Freedom Nation podcast. And on today's show, I'm actually interviewing Aurora Winter. We've already had an almost 20-minute conversation, so we're going to have to go back all over the stuff that we talked about before. But she is outstanding. If you are sitting here in the audience today, you're either that cubicle warrior trying to be a entrepreneur or get out of the cubicle, or you're a business owner that's painted into a corner and you can't figure out how to get out, maybe writing a book may be a really good idea for you. So let me tell you that she is the real deal. She is a Amazon best-selling author, and she teaches you how to do the same thing and helps you walk through it. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on with you.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation Podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Aurora, how are you, my friend?
I'm awesome, Jeff. It's been nice getting to know you.
I feel like I already know you because we spent 20 minutes talking.
Exactly.
So. Awesome. Well, I'm really looking forward to sharing you with the audience. Like I said, you are the real deal. So I have a good BS meter, and you definitely are the real deal. So.
Well, I look forward to helping the listeners turn their words into wealth and come away with some gems they can use right away.
Exactly. So let's start. Tell us your story. How did you get to where you're at today and doing what you're doing?
Well, I am one of those diehard entrepreneurs. I've been an entrepreneur since my 20s when I realized working for a job was just not for me. I didn't want to be a cubicle warrior. And I launched the first business. The key question was, what business can we launch without any money? So we had a boat rental company, followed by some much more lucrative businesses. So I've been in the yacht sales business, the yacht rental business. I worked as a TV executive producer. I launched a film and television company, raised $5 million, made 8 films. Then I was in the coach training space, and now I'm in the publishing space. I've had 3 exits. So 3 of my businesses were sold. So that was cool. And that was a whole adventure in and of itself. Made a few errors there that we could get into. But I've always loved words. I've loved books since I was little. I've, you know, started writing my first book when I was 9 years old. Never finished it, but it was nicely illustrated with a, you know, unicorn and a little girl.
Yeah.
And when I grew up, you know, I kept writing books. So like you, okay. Jeff. I've written a number of nonfiction books. Nonfiction books are great because they establish your thought leadership. You can get on podcasts or speaking stages. So one of my nonfiction books is Turned Words Into Wealth, Blueprint for Your Business, Brand, and Book. But I also write fantasy. So Magic, Mystery, and the Multiverse. It won Reader's Choice Award, Best Book for Teens. So I love books, and I love helping people with their books.
And it's kind of fun holding your own book in your hands. That's the best part. It never gets old. Every time I publish one and I get it in the mail, it's just like, it's real.
And look at you with your list of books. You're creating a handsome income stream or royalty stream. So you're modeling what you're showing people about getting to their freedom day.
Get as many revenue sources coming in as possible, and especially the ones I don't even have to think about after I get going. So
exactly. You put the effort into making it once, and then it spins off income from then on.
Absolutely. Like we were talking about, the one book that I wrote that I didn't even think about. I mean, it was just kind of, it doesn't even have a sequel or anything like that. And it's making more money than any of the other books I have. And it's not even under my name.
Maybe it'll have a sequel soon with that success.
It definitely is going to have a sequel soon, I can tell you right now. So talk to me a little bit. So you wrote your first book, you said, in what, 2005, right?
2005, I published my first book, self-published. That was back when there was a big stigma about independent publishing.
Yeah, exactly.
Today, it's like, why are you going with the trad pub?
Which, I mean, honestly, when you do look at it, I'm like, I looked at the math because I've been approached a couple times about, well, you know, why don't you come with our publishing company? And, you know, and I'm like, so what do I make per book? Well, you make like $1 a book. And I'm like, I make four to six times that. Publishing my own. What are you going to add?
Exactly.
That's going to generate enough to make up that difference.
It's very interesting. So, for example, David Goggins, who wrote the book Can't Hurt Me,
sure.
You know, he considered going with a traditional publisher. He met with an agent in New York, and the agent said, if you self-publish, you'll be lucky to sell 5,000 copies. Yeah, exactly. But he decided to self-publish, mostly because he didn't want to lose control of his story. He didn't want somebody else to own it. And the rest is history, as they say. I believe he sold about 1,000 copies of the book and 600,000 copies of the audiobook in the first year.
Yeah, and the audiobook is way better than the book. I mean, if you don't listen to the audiobook, you are missing like half the story, because the guy that did that with him, where he was asking him questions, it was awesome.
Yeah. So the guy who did that with him was basically the writer or the ghostwriter, whose name's not on the cover. But yeah, it was really great, the going back and forth. Or Gary Vee is really great, too. When he reads his audiobooks, he's like, well, this is not in the book, but he adds more stuff. Anyway, yes, and audiobooks are hot. The demand is really growing. Anyway, back to the David Goggins story. If he had gone with a traditional publisher, it would probably have cost him $20 million at least.
Yeah.
So he, in other words, he made $20 million more by independently publishing or by publishing it under his own imprint. So if you have any marketing interest, you're best off self-publishing or independently publishing. And there's no longer the stigma. It's like, duh, obvious. But there are a few cases where you would want to seek out a traditional publisher if you've already written a bunch of books, you're already an Amazon bestseller, and you want to go for the Wall Street Journal or the USA Today or the New York Times bestseller. Mm-hmm. That's very hard to get a New York Times bestseller without having
an independent publisher
behind you. Although it's been done a few times. Jeff Walker pulled it off with launch.
Yep.
Anyway, too much detail. Bottom line, I love books. I'm obsessed with books, as you can probably see. And I love helping people.
I mean, you were doing it. I mean, 05, that was kind of the wild, wild. Amazon really wasn't doing the self-publishing thing at that point, right?
No, in 2005, when my first book was published, it was really hard to get distribution. You had to go through all of these hoops. And now it's super easy. I mean, Amazon makes worldwide distribution so easy. Yep. Ebooks, you know, weren't really a thing in 2005.
No.
So things have really, really changed. I think that, you know, publishing 1.0 was, there were the gatekeepers. And unless you got a big publisher, your voice would never be heard. Publishing 2.0 was Amazon and ebooks and worldwide distribution for everybody. And that was great. And what I do, I think, is publishing 3.0. which is to make the same system that politicians and celebrities have used for decades available to experts, entrepreneurs, and leaders. So the way that Winston Churchill wrote so many books, he is a Pulitzer Prize winning author, but he didn't type them out or write them longhand. He spoke them out.
Yep.
And then other people added research, added notes, transcribed it, and turned it into a book, because he was very prolific. He would never have been able to, you know, do that all by himself. And that's how I help people write books. First, we decide, you know, what's the problem this book is solving? Is it fiction? So it's solving the problem of entertainment, or is it nonfiction? So it's solving a specific problem, as your nonfiction books do. And are we also going to use this to leverage the expert to the next level of thought leadership, so they can get on podcasts, radio, and TV and speak on stages and add to the value of their brand? And then I just interview them. And that's fun and fast and easy. And, you know, nowadays you can transcribe it basically instantly. And that becomes the messy first draft. And then we polish it up.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I'm like, I mean, that was how I wrote my first three books. Was I had learned the whole dictation model. And you look at the writing and it just flows, because it's speech.
It's,
you know, I think back to the books that I have the hardest time reading are the ones that you know, that person sat down in front of a typewriter or a computer and typed that thing out and just, you know, just did it that way. I mean, I have a hard time reading Stephen King's books because, I mean, he's one of those, you know, I got to sit down in front of a computer and type it out. And it just doesn't flow like speech.
Well, I think the more conversational book is more friendly. It's more invitational. And the other cool thing, most first time authors, you know, they write their book and then they don't think about the book launch. But you actually need a number of pieces of social media, dozens or hundreds of pieces of social media content to launch your book. So as I'm interviewing people, we get the video, we get the audio, and all of that can be sliced and diced into hundreds of pieces of social media content to fill up their YouTube channel or their Facebook or their Instagram or whatever channel they're focused on, or all of the above. Mm-hmm. And that can create buzz for the book before it's launched and after it's launched. So you're adding more value.
Yeah. And you're not on the never ending social media machine, you know, I mean, I laugh. I'm, you know, as I was shifting into fiction, you know, and I'm like, okay, this is different from the way I had to market other books before. You know, it's just it's a different thought process. And you know, you listen to the author, you know, you just need to get on TikTok and, you know, I'm like, I cannot think of anything I want to do less than sit here and blather around on. And I watched a lot of these authors and I'm like, what are you doing? I just don't get it. I don't get your purpose. Or, you know, you're doing something weird just to catch people's eyes. And I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Well, for example, like this book is 50,000 words.
Yeah.
Most people can talk 8,000 words in an hour.
Sure.
So this would maybe be 12 one-hour interviews if it was done the spoken author method. But each of those interviews could probably be chopped up into at least a dozen short pieces of social media content with the author just conversationally sharing, you know, their challenges, their problems, how they solve them, you know, their story.
Well, and stuff that falls, some stuff that would probably be edited out might be a good blog article or something like
exactly.
that along the same line. So, I mean, I think it's fantastic. So
it's
think it's a great process. I've changed my process since, but I mean, I could see going back to that, you know, if I was somewhere where I could walk in the woods every day and just talk. Talk so to myself.
People may want to do that. And I also find there's something magic happens when somebody who's interested is asking you questions and, you know, I can pull the gold out of somebody's story, because people so often take for granted how they got there because they know where they are. And they just like, well, that doesn't matter. No, it does matter how you got there. And even the wrong turns along the way. Because you want a book to have both expertise and humanity.
Mm. And so I'm guessing too, I mean, you're not an expert in their category. Mm-hmm. So you have that ability to then pull out, okay, well, this doesn't quite make sense to me. You know, give me a little bit more. Help me understand this a little bit better.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And it's good to have somebody who is unfamiliar with their business, because then they don't skip past how they got there.
Well, that's my editor, Jim. I mean, I call him the everyman. If I can get it past Jim and he understands it, then I've done, it'll be a book everybody loves. Cause I mean, he just has that ability to be just like, okay, I don't get this. You gotta explain it to me a little bit more. You're being too, you know, too financially for me. I need it to be more, you know, personable or whatever.
For every man or every woman, as the case may be.
So everybody's got to have a gym that's out there that can do that.
Everybody needs an editor. Exactly right. And also, it's good to have a gym or somebody like that, because authors can be so hard on themselves and throw stuff away that could really be good. In fact, there's a story about Stephen King. When he was at the beginning of his writing career and he had some kind of blue collar job that involved a lot of sweat. And but he was writing in the evening.
Worked in a laundry. So,
and, you know, he longhand wrote an idea for a story and he threw it out.
Yeah.
And his wife fished it out of the garbage can and said, she, you know, smoothed it out and said, no, this is really good. And he eventually wrote that. And I believe it became the book Carrie.
Yes.
And it was his first big deal.
It's what got him out of the laundromat.
So. There you go. You know the story too. Yeah, his agent. Yeah,
he writes
said,
about
Are you
that.
Are sitting down?
Yeah, the best book I think on writing I've ever read is In Writing by Stephen King. It's really a great book. Because half the book is his story. Half of it's like, okay, this is what it takes to be a successful author. Yeah.
And that was his $600,000 deal.
The one that could have just gotten thrown in the trash and, you know, and never come out again. So,
yeah. So we need, nobody can be objective about their creative process. It's good to have somebody else to bounce things off of.
So walk me through, I come to you as an author or an expert and I'm like, I want to be a successful author. Walk me through that process. How do we get started? How are you going to get me to the first draft? And then what do we do kind of after that from the marketing perspective?
Okay. So how we get started is people would come to learn more about Same Page Publishing at samepagepublishing.com. They can see all the award-winning best-selling books that I've helped launch. And then they say, oh, I think I'd like to work with Aurora. Probably they would grab this book, Turn Words mm-hmm. into Wealth, because they might as well read that and get all the free content.
Yeah.
But then they can sign up for a free business breakthrough call at bookcall.biz, bookcall.biz. And then I'll jump on the phone with them, find out about their business, find out about their goals. And then if I can help them and if they would like me to help them, then we decide to work together for just 1 month. And in the first month, what I do is a mini market feasibility study. So I look at their business. I look at their goals. I look at competitive titles in the industry. If those competitive titles are making money, that's a good sign. If they're not making money, that's a warning sign. And then we test the title and subtitle and come up with an outline for the book. So by the end of the month, they have clarity. So for example, one client came to me and he's like, I want to write a book about podcasting. Okay. And I researched that. The best-selling book on podcasting is only making $1,500 a month.
Yeah.
That's the best-selling book. But this person also had business expertise, and he's also like somebody who really loves to encourage others. And the best-selling business books that encourage others are making $5 million a month. So this is the benefit of getting getting somebody with my expertise at the get-go. Let's not waste our time on the podcast, Brooke. All right. So then we create the outline, you know, what problem does this book solve? Who is the ideal reader? And then at the end of the month, the person can go, great. Thank you so much, Aurora. I've got my blueprint. I know what to do. And they go do it. Uh-huh. Or usually half the time they say, that was great. I really love working with you. Can you just help me through the whole process?
Yeah.
And then if we both decide we'd like to continue working on it, not the podcast book. that's not going to be a home run. And then we work on me interviewing them for each of those chapters, solving each chapter, solve a problem. And then we turn that into, we get it transcribed instantly. They get the transcript. I help them turn that into like a beautiful polished manuscript, help them create the interior layout design, get a great cover designer, make sure everything is top notch, and then follow it all the way through to the Amazon bestseller launch so that it's not just a book.
Uh-huh.
It's like a book that's launched.
Yeah.
And I just launched a book for a client last week. It's called Billion Dollar Communication Skills by John Brink. And he's like thrilled. He got to the Amazon number one bestseller in his category. Mm-hmm. And he's got dozens of rave reviews. So it was like a stellar success for him. And he's absolutely thrilled. When he came to me, the book idea was called Talk Back. So I suggested, how about Billion Dollar Communication Skills? He's like, I like that a lot better. Yes, I think it'll work better for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, well, I mean, it's aspirational title versus confusing title, if anything.
Exactly.
So then what's the, do you find that that person goes with just one book and then that's it? Or, hey, this is a real thing. You know, now we need to kind of plan out a series of books.
That's what I often find. So, for example, I helped a litigation attorney. His name is Michael Stockham. Write and publish and promote his first book, which is called Confessions of an Accidental Attorney.
Okay.
An Accidental Lawyer, sorry. And then, that was titled Mirthless Troll when it came to me. I'm like, how about a better title?
Just for the simple fact that you stop people from making really stupid mistakes with the names of the books alone. That's worth it just right there. There's no chance in hell that you're going to sell this book at all. It could be the best book on the planet, but that's the worst title ever.
Exactly. Yeah. On the other hand, Confessions of an Accidental Lawyer is a really good title.
It's a fantastic one. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he loved that so much. So now we're working on a series of 9 legal thrillers with a different fictional protagonist whose name is Jake Fox. So,
okay.
The first 2 books are out now. The third one is coming out in about 6 months. But we've planned a total of 9 books. And he's got over 100,000 readers, over 3,000 reviews.
That's awesome.
A bunch of awards, American Fiction Awards. So the books are really successful. But here's the surprising thing. You know this, Jeff, because you've got books. He's finding that he's attracting 7-figure clients because as a litigation attorney, oftentimes it's like 7 figures. It can be 8 figures even.
Yeah.
And they look at different litigation attorneys, all of whom look the same in suits, except this one.
Yeah.
Because Michael Stockham is, you know, a best-selling, award-winning author, and that makes him interesting. So like, let's work with that one. So it's interesting how...
So his first book is nonfiction, and then he's shifting into a fiction
Actually,
model.
They're all fiction.
Okay, cool.
But the first book was inspired by... pro bono case that he took. So the legal story in it is inspired by, but the personal story in it is
You shared that one thing right there as a story. Because typically a legal book, I mean, financial books, same thing. I mean, you know, my successful, it took a while to get my brain fixed was it just needs to be a personal story. You know, my latest book that came out, it's really my story of how I went from being a corporate employee to my freedom day, you know, and you get to hear the trials and tribulations along the way. And I didn't cut anything. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is how it worked. And if you want to do this, this is what you might do. Although you don't make the same dumb mistakes I did. So,
Well, that's the thing. And I think in the age of AI, our stories are worth more than ever.
Yeah.
Because people can produce a bunch of generic words.
Yeah.
Crap. I was going to say that, but then I'm like, that's maybe kind of
Let me be honest about it.
But I think we can really double down on the value of our own stories. Human beings want to know what other human beings have suffered and triumphed. They want to know that hero's journey. Struggle, breakthrough, whatever, you know, and then it's like, this Jeff is just like me. I'd like to work with him. Or Aurora is just like me. I'd like to work with her.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's in the future for you? What's new?
Well, what's really cool is primarily I've been helping people, as you know, publish books. I've also helped a number of founders raise money for a startup. So every founder I've helped raise money for a startup has raised 7 or 8 figures. So that's
a lot of success.
Very good success. But now I've just launched this kind of founder authority, instant authority plan, because I realize some people don't necessarily want to write a book, but they could have a nonprofit or they could have a business and they want to get their message down, what I call your $1 million message. So they want help creating their $1 million message.
Okay.
And then now that I figured out the trifecta, you really need to ideally have a book on Amazon or a podcast or a video, because Amazon's the number 3 search engine. And then you need to be on YouTube, because YouTube is the number 2 search engine.
Yep.
And then the number 1 search engine is actually becoming ChatGPT. So while some people may or may not want to have a book, I can help people with being on YouTube and becoming a mini celebrity by interviewing them. So we spend sprint time getting them really clear on their $1 million message. They can get their website clear so they can raise capital or seek donations for their charity. And then once they're clear in their message, I interview them because I love doing that.
Yep.
And then the outcome is they and their name and their business name will be on YouTube with thousands of views.
Nice.
Maybe they want to continue on and do a book. But what I realize is, like, let's have a sprint with an outcome that's valuable for somebody who doesn't have that.
Well, and I mean, that's what they need right then. I mean, the book is fine.
Yeah.
But that's what they really need right then, is they need that presence, because, you know, although they might look me up on Amazon to find my book, they're probably just going to Google me or put something in the ChatGPT first.
Yeah.
See, okay, well, who is this person? Is it somebody I even want to waste my time with at that point?
And it's interesting, like I was searching on ChatGPT yesterday for microphone recommendations of all things. Yeah. I've got a Blue Yeti, and somebody else recommended I should get a Shure MX7, I think it was. Yeah, so whatever. I want to hear what your recommendation is. Looks like you've got a Blue Yeti.
It's a Blue. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I own six of these. I'll do the podcast in multiple locations. So they're set up in all these different locations, and I've used them for probably 6-7 years now. They're awesome.
They are awesome. So anyway, but ChatGPT gave me some information, compared the two microphones, suggested some other microphones, but then said, if you want to have listen more, go here. Where did they send me? A YouTube video.
There you go.
It only had 27,000 views. So it didn't have that many views, but it was specifically on that topic. Mm-hmm. So that's why I realized, for people who don't have any media experience, they haven't been on radio, they haven't been on TV, they haven't been on dozens of podcasts or hundreds of podcasts, getting that first bit of traction on YouTube can really make a difference. And then they can put that video on their website, or share it on their social, or whatever the case may be. So that's what's new, is that
I like it.
That media buzz sprint.
Yeah, well, and it's your background anyhow. So I mean, that's the beauty of it, is it makes it very simple, because you're leveraging years of doing that to begin with. So it's fantastic.
Exactly right. Exactly.
I love it.
I love it. If they want to see more about that, they can check out my Strategic Basics new YouTube channel, which is
awesome.
We'll leveraging my film and TV background, because it's not just talking heads. We've also got a lot of B-roll and having fun with creating mini movies. They're like 15 minutes long.
I love this. I'll have to check it out. Now it's said that's what I mean, now that basically YouTube's integrated to even like my TV, I just watch YouTube on my TV most of the time. And
I know. Did you know 70% of people watch YouTube on their TV?
I can believe it.
It's
huge. They made it easy. I mean, it used to be, it was impossible to do up till, you know, this new generation of smart TVs, you know, and like I was a big fan of Motor Trend channel before they just completely destroyed it and fired everybody. Well, all those guys shifted over to YouTube channels. And I mean, it's like watching the old shows, but you know, it's new stuff, and there, I mean, the production quality is as good as it was when it was on Motor Trend. So
most people don't know that YouTube has actually got more views than Netflix or Apple or Amazon Prime. Like, it's a big deal, YouTube.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be just hey, I want to learn how to do whatever, you know. Now it's like, hey, I want to be entertained. I want, you know, I've noticed so many people that like disappeared from Food Channel and all these they all have gone over to YouTube, and they're creating their own channels, and you own your own content at that point. So,
and to me, that's freedom, right? When you create your own content. I love that.
And you don't have to answer to the studio bosses or some idiot that comes in and says, okay, we're going to fire the whole staff of people, even though they've been, you know, working forever and creating content people love.
The other thing that I learned, and I wrote a whole episode about it on Strategic Basics, is a new way to monetize your book. You might want to consider this, Jeff. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there's an author, he writes zombie novellas. They're little short books, like half an hour of audio.
Okay.
And he posts them on YouTube once a week. They're called Dead America. Mm-hmm. And he translates them. Everything is done with AI, except the initial creation of the very short half hour story. But every time he uploads an episode, he makes $100 instantly on YouTube.
Okay.
And then there's a long tail, because there's so many other episodes that people could watch. So that could be fun for you to consider with your, now that you're leaning into fiction, or you could probably do it with nonfiction too.
I've been doing that. The other series, because I love murder mystery and stuff like that. And so I was doing that on my Substack. And so I have a strategy. I stopped for a few months because I have other projects, but I would launch a story on Thursday. And so the whole idea was launch the story. So this is the initial murder mystery with one detective in Chicago in the mid-90s. And then every day for 6 days, there was a clue. So there was like,
what a great idea.
His case file. And so every day, you know, every day up until the next one was going to be released. And then on the day of the new release, the final, you know, the final here's the solution to the puzzle happened. So, it was pretty well received.
That's
so
I'll clever.
Have to go back to it once I get done with all these projects.
Were you able to monetize it?
Not yet. I mean, it was at the beginning. Yeah, the beginning of it. I think it will be. I mean, Substack, I'm still trying to figure out. It's a weird animal. It's a strange place.
I think if you took that same idea and did it on YouTube, it'd be easy to monetize.
Yeah, I mean, I tried it. I needed to really just actually get on there and read it on, you know, on the thing. And I published it with an audio version.
Well, that's what this zombie author does, but he does the audio with the AI.
Okay.
That was the hack. You can see the list of all the things he did if you go to the Strategic Basics and check the zombie.
I love this.
But it was like kind of cool because I'm always paying attention to how can people monetize? What are other ways? And like I said, if you can have a book or a podcast on Amazon that solves a specific problem and then you are on YouTube, then you will be indexed by ChatGPT and Code and Perplexity and things like that, especially if your book on Amazon has got reviews on Goodreads because they index Goodreads. So that's the play, is if you can be in all three.
Yeah. Well, and
that's
I think, as a thought leader. I think people forget about Goodreads. I mean, it is a place I put a lot of emphasis on it. Probably the last 3 to 4 books, I put a big emphasis on.
Yeah.
Goodreads of starting to build that up. And I mean, surprisingly, it kind of builds on itself. It's amazing. It's an interesting community of people. And especially if you participate in that community, it's much easier, I think, in some aspects to get your grounding on Goodreads versus, you know, Amazon. And it just turns into Amazon sales, but.
Yeah, it does, because the Goodreads reviews eventually get taken over to Amazon because Amazon owns Goodreads. So it takes over everything.
It's even better. Yeah. Yeah. It's just the Goodreads audience is a little bit more brutal. So you got to make sure
they are. They're harsher with their reviews. It's like,
yeah, you're not going to get mom's, you know, glowing review there. They're going to pound on you a little bit if you put out garbage. So,
well that's Aurora, part of, you know, one thing to do with the book launch strategy is actually. You can let the Goodreads people read a book before it's released.
Okay.
You can let them access, as long as you've uploaded the book, you can let them access the advanced reader copy. Mm-hmm. And that way you can build reviews and momentum even before launch, which is a little clever hack.
A little hack, yeah. And there's a couple little review sites, too, that work that way that I'm a big fan of that I've used. I mean, I had 7 books hit first, you know, bestseller right off the gate. You know, within a week, last year. So that process works. You know, you just got to kind of build your momentum ahead of time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the Fast 5 questions.
All right. Let's talk about them.
First question. You wake up in the morning. Business is gone. You have $500, a laptop computer, place to stay, food and clothing. What do you do first?
I loved this question. Because it reminded me of what I should do now anyway. So I would go to local Chamber of Commerce, Rotary Club, startup meetings, accelerator, anywhere where entrepreneurs would meet or business owners would meet. And I would see what problems they have that I can solve for them. And I would expect within a week I would have a client who wanted something that has to do with words because that's my area of expertise. Has spent, you know, decades in the film and television and publishing industry. So solving problems with words can be anything from creating an irresistible offer so that people feel stupid saying no, as Alex Hermosi would say.
Absolutely.
To revamping a website. Oftentimes businesses are so successful that they've just ignored their website and it was done a decade ago and looks really lame.
Yeah.
So I could help them with that. To creating a brochure or, you know, obviously interviewing them, turning it into a video, creating video content, creating verbal content. So I think that would be what I would do.
Love it. What's your biggest?
And I don't even need the $500.
No, you can do it without it, right? What is your biggest business mistake that you've ever made?
I love this question too. These are really good questions that you have. My biggest business mistake was I fall in love with my businesses and my clients and the problems that I'm solving. And I never thought that I would ever want to sell any of my businesses until I was fed up.
Yeah.
That is really not the best time to
That's
sell
That's not the
business.
Best time to sell them. Yeah. You want to do it. You want to go out on a high, but okay.
So if I had it to do all over again, or I am definitely now thinking through the exit strategy, even when I'm all like hyped and thinking, I'm in love with this business. I would never want to stop.
I know. I want to keep it forever. My baby is beautiful. My baby
exactly.
is ugly.
So even though I did have a couple of exits, they would have been far more lucrative if I had still had a couple of years of excitement to keep running the business with the new
owner. Or know that, okay, this is the time. At this point, you've got a very clear exit of, okay, this is the time I'm going to exit, and you go.
Yeah. So I think that's where, you know, somebody with your expertise could really be helpful to the listeners to like, okay, call Jeff, find out what your freedom day is. What's your freedom number? And then plan, if you've got a successful business
valuation,
plan an exit.
Can you live off of what that valuation is? If not,
exactly.
you get out and hustle a little bit, girl.
Exactly. So, yeah.
So what's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
Oh my gosh. I have so many books because, you know, I'm a book aficionado. I was just listening again to the second time to Alex Hormozi's book, $100 Million Offers. So that's his $100 Million Leads is also great. He just came up with a new book, which is coming out soon or coming out in a week.
Yeah, Money, what is it?
$100 million Money Structure or something.
Money Systems or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I'm part of the launch with that. I can't wait.
Are you?
I'm like,
what are you doing as part of the launch?
So, well, I went through the VIP thing. So I'm just like, okay, I'll pay you the whatever. I paid way too much for a book, you know, basically is really what it is. But I love Alex's stuff. I mean, I will tell you, Alex's stuff changed all of my businesses. And it came from a podcast. It was hilarious. It was Christmas time last year. I did a podcast on Christmas Eve with a guy who was in Croatia or something weird like that, you know. Yeah. So I mean, we're doing it at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, dude, it's like 9-10 o'clock at night and you're doing a podcast on Christmas night, or it's Christmas night your time and whatever. And that was he was like, well, I would do $100 million leads or any of Alex Hormozi's books. And I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. And I figured, well, over Christmas I'd read him. And I literally absorbed them. I just finished rereading it, the $100 million leads. I'm rereading I'm rereading Offers, or I read Offers and I'm rereading Leads right now.
They're really good to review because they're such business basics. I also really like, maybe this is when you haven't read Pitch Anything by Orrin Claff.
No.
So that's because I think as entrepreneurs and experts, we're always selling something.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
So Pitch Anything is a really good book about pitching. So that's excellent. And I also like the book The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle. And what I really loved most about that book is he said, you know, a lot of people think that either you have talent or you don't. But he said, actually, talent is grown, not born. And there's three ways to develop talent or to grow your talent. One is you got to want it. So you got to turn the ignition on. And then number two, you have to deeply practice. So you have to get in there and practice right at the edge of your capacity, not like phoning it in, but you're playing tennis against somebody who's just a little bit better than you, but they're not crushing you. They're not 10 times better than you. And then the third way to grow your talent is to have a mentor hold you accountable and invite you to the next level. So that was a really encouraging book because everybody can grow their talent.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not born with it by any way, shape, or form. So I don't care what
reading books
think.
is great, but also
reading books is it's if you get one thing out of each book, you know. And I mean, I think of all of Mike Michalowicz's books, I've reread multiple times, and there's always something new that comes
what's
out of every
favorite,
reread.
What's your favorite Mike Michalowicz book?
Profit First. I mean, it's the book that saved my business, you know, 10 years ago. So I will always love Mike for that. And he's a friend, and I've connected with him over the years, but Clockwork's actually my favorite. Because Clockwork takes you, it teaches you how to get out of your business and build that. And, you know, and Mike's, he's another one. If you've never listened to the audiobooks, he does all of his own audiobooks, and he's basically a human equivalent of a big yellow dog, you know, like a Labrador. He's just like, oh, and he's just, he tells really stupid dad jokes. And I mean, it's just, he's a great auditor. As well
I'll check that out.
Yeah, you'll love them, right? And every book is written for a specific problem. So it's just one specific problem. Profit first. You're unprofitable in your business. How do you get profitable? Clockwork. You're way too much in your business. How do you get yourself out of your business? He's got one called Fix This Next. And it's just really, how do you look at your business and go, okay, this is freaking broken. Fix that first and then work on the next thing. So they're just well written, and they're usually probably a 2-day read, especially I'm sure you're probably a fast reader. So they're like a 2-day read.
And that's a very good tip to really dial in on a specific problem and write several books instead of, you know, writing all of this.
We don't have to do them all in one. Yeah,
exactly.
Counseling a friend I met at a networking event, and he's like, well, I wrote this book, and I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this is gonna be the most boring book that I've ever heard. And he's like, well, I'm at like page 485, and I'm like, oh God, please stop. So finally I was like, okay, I will not help you until you come back to me with how you can break that book into 6 different books at a bare minimum. Then I'll help you at that point, because I cannot help you with the Bible, and you know, and it's a boring Bible on top of it. So. Yeah.
Well, it's like Jordan Peterson, you know, his first book is Maps of Meaning, and it's so dense. I'm a huge Jordan Peterson fan, but it was like so hard to get through, and it had that definitely non-conversational tone of, you know, you could see that he'd reworked and reworked. Well, each chapter 200 times, it makes it hard to read.
Any of the Stephen Covey books, I just cannot get through. And I mean, the only more boring writer is Stephen Covey's son. I'm like, just please stop. You know, when people tell me, oh, 7 Habits, I'm like, I have never gotten past habit 2. It's so boring. Can't take it. Okay. But so what's
then on tool? The other hand, 12 Rules for Life, you know, hit it out of the park.
Yeah, whatever.
I can't
get past 7 Habits, so I'm just not going any farther. So what's a tool that you use in your business every day that you can't do without?
Oh, my gosh. Well, this is probably going to be the same as what everybody else says. Now I just lost you because I was looking up what was called 12 Rules for Life.
I'm here.
I got to expand that. There you go. Sorry, what was the question? Oh, yeah, tools I use every day. Well, one of the tools that I use every day that I think most businesses could benefit from is Fireflies. So Fireflies is so cool because I do use Zoom as well. But what I like about Fireflies is if you set up a recurring meeting and you've got your Zoom link, Fireflies will jump on the meeting like a minute or two before it starts.
Okay.
And it will automatically record the call, automatically make a summary of the key points of the call using AI, and then automatically send it to me as well as my client.
Beautiful.
So I don't have to take any action. Like, I do have the call also recorded on Zoom because we're wanting to slice and dice the video content, but then I would have to go into Zoom and copy it. This is all done automatically. So what's really good about it is because I often have, like, you know, today, just before getting on this podcast, I had an in-depth call with a client and I mapped out what we needed to do over the next year. There was a lot of content. And so, but instantly he's got not only the discussion, but the summary of the discussion. And then I also use Google Docs all the time. I'd also put the summary of what we need to do next in the next 12 months to launch his best-selling book, so that he could clearly see, you know, what I'm going to do, what his team needs to do, and that we have, you know, when it's going to happen.
And how it's going to happen. And you do that every meeting. So, you know, you've got that ongoing thing. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. My Fixer AI is another one that does that. I was looking for a way to, I was trying to figure out how to create an automated or an AI employee to manage
an
my
agent.
Email. Yeah, yeah. Well, to manage my email, because I get so many, I get like 400 emails a day. And a lot of it's just marketing, you know, newsletters and stuff like that. And so I was missing like important crap that I needed
right,
to know.
Right, because it was buried in there.
It was buried in all the crap. And so I found Fixer AI. And, you know, for $50 a month, I have 9 email accounts that it goes through. And then it also looks at my calendars and it'll jump onto a meeting. If, you know, if I have a meeting, it jumps onto my Zoom with me. And does those summaries like that. So, yes, very
nice.
Similar.
Very good. And then I would imagine most people listening to this already do this. Mm-hmm. But I use AI every day, either ChatGPT or Claude. But what was a breakthrough for me was creating projects and also really leaning into being very specific and detailed with the prompts and having prompts associated with each different project. So for example, Strategic Basics is a weekly YouTube show. So I use ChatGPT to research the show and to dig up the content and then to draft an initial script, which I usually reject, but to I think AI used well, it really forces you to get really clear. What is the tone of the show? Who is it for? How long are each episode? You know, I always want to have a quote from somebody or a clip from a video. And if you put all of that into like a blueprint, it A, forces you to think more clearly.
Sure.
And then to have a system to do it. And I like doing it. It often misses the mark entirely. But it makes for fast iteration. Then it goes,
well,
no,
I mean,
that's
you know,
totally
and it's interesting, like Chat 5, which just came out, I guess, this week or whatever, because I was in the midst of a Chat 4.4 and all, or 4.0, and all of a sudden it was like, what's Chat 5? Where the hell did this come from? But they've built into Chat 5 what I've had to force in, because this is something I learned a long, long time ago with because I wasn't getting the results I wanted. Until I put one thing always after everything I asked it to do was, what questions do you have for me before we start?
Exactly.
And then when you give it, grant it the ability to ask you questions, I'm not sure if it's built into Chat 5 right now or if it's because of that memory function that knows that I've given it permission before that it does this. But now I've found that it does that automatically. Because Claude's always had that built in. Because like when I was using Claude to write fiction, you know, I would kind of put something out there and it'd be like, oh, okay, well, what are we trying to do here? And I don't see, you know, it doesn't
Claude
make sense.
Claude is much
to
better
me.
With words than ChatGPT.
Oh, way better. Yeah. Although it's catching up. I mean, it is. It's
changing every week.
Yeah, I use Claude for writing, and I use you know, ChatGPT. I think is better for marketing. And I've trained it in what I call Jeff Kickle style. Mm-hmm. So my challenge today was I needed to create some prompts to help my VA to help create some articles for a client. So I was in there. Have you ever had it create its own prompts?
Not yet. Although that's a good hack.
Cool. Yeah, this was a freaking cool thing because, I mean, I was basically like, I'm going to have my VA creating the first draft of an article, and I need it to write in Jeff Kickle style, and it will not be in, because we've developed what Jeff Kickle style is for multitudes of prompts. And so I was like, I need you to give me the prompt that I can take and give to her so that she can put that in and it will write in Jeff Kickle style. And it put out the coolest, like,
that's great.
Detailed prompt of like specifically every last, you know, the tone and this and that, and it should be, you know, only 2 or 3 words per you know, paragraph, or 2 or 3, you know, sentences per paragraph, blah blah blah. I mean, it was really
have you
good.
Uploaded all of your books into your project so that it can reference that material?
I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I find it gets a little bogged down when you load too much into those. But yeah, I've created individual projects for each book, because then I'll go in and say, okay, here's the book. Now I need you to write the book description. I need you to write all the all the stuff, and I can never find my author bio. So every book that I do, I'm like, I need you to write me an author bio.
I need a new one.
Update it with the new stuff or whatever. But yeah, no, it's pretty awesome. So yeah, it's getting better. I use Grok a lot too, for certain stuff. Like you were doing the microphone thing. If you put that into Grok, you would be blown away with what you get out of it. So
all right, cool. Yeah. Do you use Notebook LM?
No, I've never heard of that one.
So Notebook LM is really good because it doesn't invent anything and it doesn't go online. Okay. So it doesn't hallucinate. So where I use Notebook LM would be, for example, with my fantasy series, Magic, Mystery, and the Multiverse, there's 3 books in this series.
Okay.
So it's like 200,000 words. Mm-hmm. Or for the legal thrillers that I'm helping a client with, I upload the books and then I can ask for a synopsis, a plot line, whatever, and it will, or give me the character list or what happens in this book or this versus book 2 versus book 3. And that's really useful when I'm turning it into a Bible to pitch for a television series or for a feature film, especially if it wasn't me who wrote it.
Yeah.
It will save a ton of time.
I'm not going to sit here and read this whole damn thing again. Yeah. I already sat and listened to you talk about it.
Yeah. So Notebook LM is maybe something to add to you.
Awesome. I love that. I'll put that on the list. Yeah, especially for a writer. It's immense.
Yeah. Exactly.
Last question for you. What is your definition of freedom?
My definition of freedom is to be able to be creatively self-expressed. For me, that's what gives me joy, is creating and helping others create stuff that I think will make a difference. Either it'll make somebody feel happier because they feel entertained, or it will give them insight and information that will make a difference in their life. So,
brilliant. I love that. That's a great answer. Yeah. You didn't give me the usual, I want to be able to do with whatever and have enough money and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
I figured you'd have enough of those boring
more about
answers.
It. Yeah, thank you for that. No, it's awesome. Aurora, if somebody is interested in learning more about you or figuring out, hey, I really need her help, where's the best place to go?
Well, the easiest place to go is Same Page Publishing, because I've come on the same page as my clients. We're
there
both on the same side of the table trying to help them get to the next level as a thought leader or expert with a best-selling award-winning book that makes a difference. Or they can grab my book, Turn Words into Wealth, Blueprint for Your Business, Brand, and Book on Amazon. I've written 10 books, so that's just the one that I think is most helpful.
Yeah, we'll make sure we link to the book and to your website on the show notes. So make sure that you reach out to her. Once again, she is the real deal. You've spent 50 minutes with us, so you know she is the real deal at this point. So Aurora, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure speaking with you. I couldn't stop. It's like an hour and a half with us right now.
But that was a joy getting to know you, Jeff.
Thank you so much. Look forward to continuing the conversation down the road. Folks, make sure that you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you give us that upvote on YouTube or wherever you're listening to this so that we can continue to get the show in front of more people. So thanks a lot, and we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.